Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 5, and 13 through 17. And now, what about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to meet him? Please don't be upset and excited, dear brothers, but the rumor that this day of the Lord has already begun. If you hear of people having visions and special messages from God about this, or letters that are supposed to have come from me, don't believe them. Don't be carried away and deceived regardless of what they say. For that day will not come until two things happen. First, there will be a time of great rebellion against God, and the man of rebellion will come, the son of hell. He will defy every god there is and tear down every other object of adoration and worship. He will go in and sit as God in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you this when I was with you? But we must forever give thanks to God for you, our brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose from the very first to give you salvation, cleansing by the work of the Holy Spirit and by your trusting in the truth. Through us, he told you the good news. Through us, he called you to share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the truth that we taught you in our letters and during the times we were with you. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and hope, which we don't deserve, comfort your hearts with all comfort and help you in every good thing you say and do. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank my sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day and indeed how you have spoken once again throughout worship, and now we just continue to be open to you, how you speak to us, how you fill us, how you encourage us. As your people, we pray in the name of Christ, our Savior and our namesake. Amen. It was at a challenging time in my ministry early on, whenever I spoke with another pastor, a colleague in ministry, and he recommended a particular book to me that I read and that I, in fact, devoured. This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. It's an older novel, and it is a novel, no question about it. But there are truths that are contained within it. And it's a story of a remnant, if you will, a faithful Christians in a little town that are battling the forces of evil, that are struggling, that are being challenged. Now you would say, or you might think, why would he offer such a book to someone who is struggling themselves? Well, misery loves company. Have you ever heard that phrase before? When we recognize that the struggle is not unique to our situation or to our particular life as Christians, then there is hope in that. We recognize indeed that as soon as we take on that name of Christian, we take on the name of Jesus Christ as our own, that which defines us, what happens is that we will be challenged. And then indeed the forces of evil that are very real in the world will be slamming up against us again and again and again. Evil is real in the world, manifested at times in individuals, certainly in actions. But you know, it's not unique to this day and age. The church at Thessalonica was also facing that. And if you think it's tough now, you should have been the church back then. Paul, you see, started and founded this church. And so he had an intimate connection with them. And and loved them. He had a love affair with this church. It's difficult whenever things are going well at a particular church not to fall in love with those people. No question about it. It happens. Paul had that feeling to this church. And so whenever he got word that there were struggles there, this broke his heart. And he wanted to offer them a word of encouragement. In his first letter, he says that the day of the Lord is near, and so is their salvation. Again, an early church trying to build them up. Now, as they are thinking that the day of the Lord is at hand, he's saying, no, no, it's not here yet. Calm yourselves and follow what God would have you do in ministry. You see, then, just like throughout history, there have been those who have said, well, the end times are here. I can prove it to you. Just look at this. And then proof texting follows, and selective literalism, which are very dangerous whenever we look at the Bible. We have to look at the Bible as a whole, even the parts that we don't necessarily like or agree with or find particularly challenging. Jesus himself even said in Matthew 24, towards the end of that gospel, but about that day and hour, whenever he comes again, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus himself, the one whose name we bear, did not know when the end times were to come. So for those who spend an awful lot of time trying to predict it, for those who spend a lot of time focusing on that rather than living as God would have you live, I encourage you to pull back. I would offer to you the message that Paul offered to that church. Calm yourselves. Center yourselves on what you know, on the truth of the gospel, and on Christ crucified, died, buried, and resurrected. Focus on the resurrected Christ, not on the second coming Christ. That's what had actually happened in that church at Thessalonica. A focus on the second coming Christ rather on the resurrected Christ. Let me share this with you. There was a story that was offered by a pastor who went to lead a conference at a church that had gone through very difficult times. And this is a church on the East Coast. And so the pastor said, what do you think was the most difficult time in the life of this church? And this was an old church. This was a Revolutionary War era church. So they thought that some would say, well, whenever the British bombed our church and arrested our pastor, and he was thinking about all of these things that they might say. And this was the answer to that old church, all of those years in service, trying to lift up the name of Christ above all names and trying to offer hope. This was the most difficult time in the life of that church. 1843, when a pastor persuaded the members of the congregation to give away their homes and farms, put on white robes, and wait on a hilltop for Jesus. That was it. Whenever Jesus didn't come, they went down that hilltop, took off their robes, and had to beg for their homes and farms and land back. Happens again and again and again. We could go through countless stories of individuals who have miscalculated the end times, of individuals who have been misled by charlatans who have said, this is when the world is going to end. That was happening at the Church of Thessalonica too. Individuals that were coming forward claiming to have some sort of great wisdom of God and saying, they're upon us. The sky is falling. Panic, it's okay. And Paul is saying, no. In difficult times, in tough times, when the going gets tough, I think many of you have lived that, actually. I could tell. There's a reason that that phrase is remembered. Because each of us has been through difficult times, challenging times, tough times. And as we've gone through those tough times and continued to be people of faith, what happens? We grow. We experience God's presence in maybe a whole new way, at least a deeper way. And that name of Christ is even more powerful because we're living it. We're experiencing resurrection in our own lives. There's another story of a Puritan village that experienced a solar eclipse. Puritans. Nobody was around at that time, right? The Puritans. And the solar eclipse came, and of course in that time, with the scientific knowledge of the day, they thought, well, the world's ending. One phrase was, what shall we do? The world is coming to an end. And an answer was, let us be found doing our duty. Let us be found doing our duty. Let us be witnesses to the resurrected Christ, especially in the midst of challenging and difficult and tough times. In October 1938, there was a radio broadcast, you might have heard of it, The War of the Worlds. It caused a little bit of a stir. There was so much energy, and there was so much damage control that went down just to trying to get people calmed down and back on track. It was astounding. For us as a church, we are not called to panic, but we are called to continue to be faithful no matter what comes our way. That's biblical. We are called to be faithful, and we are called to continue to point to God, to lift up the name of Christ, and to open ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to trust, and also to be rejoicing in that trust, to be thankful in that trust. We've talked about this a couple Sundays ago, maybe more, about thankfulness in the midst of difficult times, and yet that's what God calls us to do. You see, it's not simply for our own benefit. It's for the benefit of the world. Jesus said to go out and make disciples in the world. He didn't say, go out and do it whenever it suits you, when everything's hunky-dory, when everything's going well at the church, when your life is in perfect order and harmony. What he said was go out and do that. Just do it, as Nike says. Can we do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible is full of times whenever that grounding admonition of verse 15, by the way, you can check that out in your Bibles. Verse 15 is offered. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught. Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught. In Exodus, clear at the beginning of the Bible, back in the Old Testament, Exodus 14, 13, but Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. You know when that happened? It was right before they were going to be going through the Red Sea. Okay? Some difficult times that were right in front of them. And yet the word of God through Moses, stand firm. Be of good faith. This morning, if there are challenges that you are facing, that's the same message offered to you from God. Stand firm in your faith. Continue to be His people. Defined by His word. Where did I put my Bible? Over there. Defined by His word. Washed over in prayer. Sustained by worship. And just, I'm just going to put that right there. Thank you. And just when you think that's all that God offered to us, we come to communion. And we remember it as well. As a time of sustaining, as a time of encouragement. I'd ask the communion stewards to come forward, those who are going to be serving communion, to come forward at this time, please. And as we gather at the table, we recognize what was done for us in a way of encouragement. Jesus gathered with his disciples, and there were probably people at the Last Supper who thought that it was the end times as well. They weren't really sure what was going to happen. But what he said to them, we remember to this very day, because it is phenomenal. It's a great truth. Jesus said, this is not simply bread for you to eat. This is not something to fill your stomachs, to quiet that grumbling. What this is my body, broken for you, offered for you. And since it's broken for you, that means I will be with you. The body of Christ broken for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And that wasn't the only extraordinary thing that he said that night. Because he poured out a cup. And as he did that, he said, this is not simply wine to quench your thirst, to quench the parchedness in your throat, but rather, this is my blood shed for you. Now that was just around the corner where that was going to happen. So there was going to be even greater meaning in the days to come, specifically in churches like the one at Thessalonica, where they celebrated communion. And they remembered that this was shed for them, so that sin had no power over them anymore. And indeed, with all the evil that was at work in the world, that was not the final answer. God always has the final say. The blood of Christ poured out for the people of God. Thanks be to God.